I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the bug that splatters across the windshield of crime. I am Darkwing Duck, and I'm listening to the Canned Air Podcast. How about you?
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And joining us today to talk about their comic Murder, we have Matthew Loisel and Emiliano Correa. Thanks for being with us, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us, guys.
We have a good show lined up for you today in our retro roundtable, being that Will Smith's Aladdin Genie has just been revealed. I thought it would be suiting to do a whole retro roundtable where we talk about just Will Smith, his career, his movies, his television shows, his music. There's some good stuff in there. I think it'll make for a good conversation. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, that was the reaction I was wanting to hear. Okay, I was kind of nervous.
I don't really
about
like
the topic.
It.
Well, after the genie reveal, it maybe is a little touchy.
Yeah. Some sensitive people out
we
there.
We need a little friction in there, otherwise it wouldn't be a good conversation, right?
Right.
And then we're not going to be doing the comic vault today as, well, I just didn't have time to read a comic. I'm not sure about Jack, but we're bringing back a little segment that we haven't done for a while, and we'll just kind of surprise you with that when we get there. Then we're going to turn our full attention over to Matthew and Emiliano and talk about Murder. But before we do that, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air, and find us on Patreon, patreon.com/CannedAirPod. For $5 a month, you can get access to our monthly Patreon-only show that has over a year's worth of episodes on there. Quite a catalog that you can get in on for just $5 a month and support the show in the meantime. And if you're going to a Wizard World show, don't forget to use Canned Air, lowercase, no space, in the promo box at checkout to get 10% off your ticket prices. Jack, am I forgetting anything?
Yes, the Wizard World Cleveland contest that we're going to be doing. We just finished the one for Portland, Oregon, March 8th, 9th, and 10th. So you only have a couple of weeks to enter for this one. It came up a lot faster than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, well, we need to get that going then, don't we?
Absolutely.
Head to the website,
give us a Facebook like, go to the website, fill out the form, and you will be entered. And looks like going to give it to, what, March 1st will be the cutoff date.
Oh, the drawing will be on the 1st, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, you've heard it from Jack's mouth, ladies and gentlemen. Go to our website, canderpodcast.com, and fill out that form. Get yourself two premiere passes, we'll call them, tomato, to the Wizard World in Cleveland, Ohio. And what were those dates once again, Jack?
March 8th, 9th, and 10th.
There you go. Early access to the floor all 3 days. First in line for all the autograph signings and all the big panels. You get discounts on the floor. What more could you ask for? Just for filling out a form. Come on. And stick around at the end of the episode. We're going to be going out on the last song from the band Quiet that Jack, how long has it been? We've been playing for...
Six weeks.
Like that? Yeah. It's been quite an honor because I've become a legitimate fan of these guys, and I look forward to buying some more of their albums. But this song we're going out on is Mayfly Man from the band Quiet. That's Quiet, spelled without the U, Q-I-E-T. Go to quietmusic.com. Check them out. And with that, let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
Hold on to your butts.
Spare no expense.
All right, gentlemen. Will Smith, where do we begin? I guess we should probably start with the
Fresh Prince.
Well, we'll get to Fresh Prince undoubtedly, okay. But let's start with what's kind of inspired this segment. Us all having seen Will Smith's Genie, what do we feel?
I have mixed feelings. Yeah,
it makes me feel funny.
Yeah, it's a funny thing because when you first see it. I don't know. It looks like he's CG from head to toe, you know, like his face.
I think
looks...
he is. After watching it a couple more times, I think it was just like a whole mocap of his face. And then they put it on a bigger body, I think.
Which is understandable. Of course, you need to buff him up and make him look the way he needs to look. But I don't know. You know, with Will Smith, you seem to get, you know, when he's in this kind of a role or any kind of sarcastic you know, characteristics to the character he's playing. You kind of get the same Will Smith in every movie where I don't even know how to explain it, but I don't even think I have to explain. I think people know what I'm talking about, the same kind of delivery on everything. And I, just based on the little clip you heard, we're getting the same kind of Will Smith we get in everything else out of this genie.
Absolutely. It's the Fresh Prince of Azkaban. Or what are, was that, is that what it is?
Agrabah.
Agrabah, that's right.
Azkaban.
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 I threw a Harry Potter in there a little bit. That's what it was.
There you go.
Agrabah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I, you know, one thing that's concerned me more than anything about this Aladdin trailer is not Will Smith's The Genie, though. It's the look of this guy who's playing Jafar.
Yes.
He looks to be the same age, if not younger, than Aladdin. You know, he should be, I feel like, an older, more decrepit-looking man.
I'm Googling it as we speak.
Okay.
Because I remember the Jafar.
I'm going to pull it right now.
Yeah, let's all look at it.
The girl is fine, actually.
Oh, yes, she is. The one who plays, what's her name, Jasmine?
Jasmine.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the memes going around about, they're showing like the lyrics to the Fresh Prince, but done with the Aladdin spin on it?
Oh, no.
It's like, now this is a story all about how my lamp got stuck in a cave underground, and I'd like to take a minute, just listen to me, and I'll tell you how I could turn you into a prince named Ali.
Right.
Oh, my Lord. I'm having trouble finding anything here.
Oh, yeah, I got him here. He looks like the contemporary of Aladdin, you know?
Yeah. And I don't feel like that's how he should look. He should look older, I feel like.
I think the cartoon had him much older.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And just the deepness of his voice too. In the movie, he's just like, go into that cave. Instead, it doesn't sound anything like, he's not menacing at all sounding, I guess.
Yeah. He kind of had that long drawl to everything he said, kind of like Scar, you know?
Yeah.
Really, it really accented every word as evil that came out of his mouth.
Just found here a funny pic of Will Smith compared with Majin Buu from Dragon Ball. Like his look-alike him.
Majin Buu, is that what you said?
Oh, God, that's mean.
Yeah, that is. This is just blue instead of pink.
Oh, yeah, Majin Buu is pink, though, right?
Yeah.
Even still, it's kind of on the nose.
It is.
It's just as gross. I don't know if you guys had seen, still Will Smith related, but I don't know if you guys had seen that he was offered the role for Neo in The Matrix.
Yes. Oh,
was he really?
Yeah. So I guess the directors, you know, wanted him to be Neo, and it was right after Independence Day. So he was, you know, he was saying kind of like everything he shot went in, you know, he was just on a roll. And I guess the brothers came in to pitch him the story, and I find Will Smith very funny, so I'm not going to do as funny an impersonation as he did, but I guess they came in and they're like, yeah, dude, so like what we got to do is imagine like people shooting at you, and then you jump in the air, but then you freeze, and then like we're going to invent these cameras that will like show 360 view, and then like you'll see everything. And so I guess he passed on it because the pitch was kind of,
it sounds kind of out.
Sounds
there,
absolutely right? Absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I would take that role.
No.
And apparently, had he taken it, they would have wanted, Morpheus to be white. And so instead of Lawrence Fishburne, they were going to go with, and it's not coming to me, Val Kilmer was going to be Morpheus if Will Smith was Neo. I don't know. It's hard to say if...
It's hard to picture that because we are very used to see Keanu on
right.
Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah. So, but I believe it's just a matter of getting used to, but it would be weird to see Will Smith there. I believe that.
It would be weird. I don't know. Like, I've never been a huge Keanu Reeves fan. So it'd be interesting to see Will Smith in that position, because I don't know, when it comes to a serious role, I think he's really good at pulling it together and delivering a good performance.
Yeah, he can when it if it is a serious role without having the street vibe showing up too much. Kind of like in that, what was the one with he was with his son and he was
Pursuit
homeless and
happiness.
Stuff. Yes, he was amazing
such a good
in that
film.
One.
That was so good. Did you guys happen to see that, Matthew Emiliano?
No, I did not see that. I actually went back to look at his filmography when you guys told me we'd be talking about him, and I was kind of surprised how many movies he had made that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. The same here. Yeah. Like I a lot of which I knew of and just have chose not to see, and things I hadn't even heard of.
Well, instead of making The Matrix, he went on to make The Wild Wild West.
See,
which I saw.
I did too. I've seen it more than I probably should have in my lifetime. I've got a soft spot in my heart for that movie. It's not a good movie, but it's fun. It's fun.
Sure.
Not convincing, Matthew.
Well, I feel like it was on very heavy rotation on like USA Network.
Oh, and very possible.
I continually snubbed it. So maybe I should go see it. Now that you've said that you liked it, maybe.
I think there has to be a pre-existing soft spot in your heart for this. I don't think this is something you're going to be able to watch like with any bit of apprehension and come like come around on. Like, you know what? It is good. I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, I won't be quite as like intoxicated by nostalgia either.
You don't?
So I won't. I am. I am a very nostalgic person, but since I didn't see it, I have no nostalgia.
That's exactly it.
It's hard. It's easy to not be nostalgic with the Wild Wild West because it kind of goes off of the original show just a little bit to where it's almost not the exact same show, I guess. It's kind of a whole new thing.
It's so far different. Like, okay, the character Loveless, was like a Southern general who'd been cut in half and like his bottom half was a wheelchair that could turn into like a mechanical spider, where in the original show, I think Loveless was a dwarf, a Mexican dwarf who only appeared in like a couple episodes and just vowed revenge on him. I have no idea where the connection came between these two other than the name.
They just wanted to make it a big summer blockbuster movie, so they just changed as much as they could to make
it worked on me. That big
gigantic
spider, that big like steampunk looking spider on the big screen was pretty darn cool.
Oh, absolutely.
I like steampunk stuff, so that part was my favorite.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's an instant sell for me.
That and all the little gadgets that Gordon had, you know, like knives and guns that would pop out of his sleeves and boots and just all
a master of disguise.
Yeah. It was just a lot of fun. It was so much fun. Not good, fun.
Did you guys see the Netflix movie that Will Smith was in, Bright?
No, I didn't.
No, I heard that was great though.
It was really good. It had a lot to do with like racism and stuff, which I think helped make it better. But a lot the story overall was really good too. And they're supposed to be making a second one, which I thought it was a series when I first saw it, but then I realized that it said it was an hour and a half long and it was just a movie, but that was a really good movie too. And he's just kind of a cop, you know, that lives
in a world, an orc or something.
No, he's a cop, and the world that it's set in, fairy tale creatures are real. Like there's fairies flying around and they're not the little sweet, like Tinkerbell fairies. They're little mean, evil fairies. And, there's orcs and elves. Elves are kind of the rich, snobby people that live in the big cities that own everything. And orcs are basically, I hate to say it like that. But they, you know, they work and they have their own gangs and stuff. It was really cool the way they did it. Hmm. And there's magic and, yeah, it's just modern day myth in today's world.
May have sold me on this movie. I think I want to watch it now.
Yeah, heck yeah. And I'm going to go see Wild Wild West, too. This is
huge. There you go.
How many movies you'll have on this list before we get to the end?
Right. We're paying Will Smith's getting paid again. Here we go with the residuals.
Now, how about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Jack, I already know you brought that up, but, you know, we gotta swing back onto it. We got to touch on it, undoubtedly. I mean, that's obvious. I think my first exposure to Will Smith and probably most everybody's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. This show was not only funny, but I loved how it could, pull on your heartstrings pretty damn hard sometimes. Like, I remember the episodes when his dad came to town and act like he was going to stick around and stay with Will, and then at the last minute split. You know, that was really hard because you watch Will kind of collapse into Uncle Phil's arms, and they have this this moment that was really, it was a tearjerker, man. Do you guys remember that at all?
I don't remember that episode. I remember it was just kind of cool how the show took off and became what it was from this young rap star, basically, through the 80s. At first, you kind of thought it was going to be a joke because, I mean, he makes these funny songs. Parents just don't understand. And Nightmare on My Street. But then ended up being a really big, serious TV show that pretty much taught a lot of us how to be today, I guess.
Yeah, well, you never typically get good results when you start pulling people from the music world into the film world and, you know, vice versa. That typically never goes too well, but it did in this case, didn't it?
Will Smith and Ice-T, I think, are the only two that really worked for
him. Ice-T, oh man, he made it his bitch, didn't he?
Oh yeah.
He really did. He really did.
From being a cop killer to being a cop on Law and Order.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what he'll be remembered for more than anything, I think, in the end.
Yeah.
You know, Tupac was starting to have an acting career that, what was the movie he did? Juice was maybe the only movie he ever did. But had he lived longer, I think he would have maybe bucked that trend, too. He was a great actor also.
Really? I've never seen Juice.
Mm-mm.
It is a excellent movie. And he plays a big part in it, and he does great. I would definitely recommend Juice.
Tupac's going to get paid now.
What's that?
Now Tupac's going to start getting paid again.
Right.
I think you overestimate our impact. Oh, my God. How about iRobot?
That I've never seen yet.
I saw it. I don't particularly remember a lot of the details, but I do remember loving it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was, Jack, it's kind of it's set in the future where they have robots to do like chores and stuff around the house. And I don't want to give the whole thing away, but you know, eventually these things start going rogue and attacking Will Smith.
It starts out with somebody got hurt and it was blamed on a robot. So they were kind of trying to figure out if it was true or if the robot really did it or something like that, but then they all revolt.
Didn't you just say you hadn't seen this movie?
I'm good at deciphering the trailers, I guess.
Why even bother going to the theater? I'll decipher the trailer.
Like Avengers 4, I know what's going to happen just from seeing that clip. Not really, but...
Okay. I was going to say we better sound the spoiler alarm.
No.
I love the end of iRobot when he and I don't remember who else starred opposite of him in that film, but they're in the top of that like glass like skyscraper, and all those robots are like insects, like climbing up the sides all around them and coming into the skylight. It was so freaking creepy.
Yeah, I've seen that in the previews. I remember seeing that, and that was a little bit unnerving.
All right, who else? Who else? Well, Will Smith entries. What we got?
I'm looking to see what else he's been in. Oh, how about Bad Boys? They're going to do another one here pretty soon.
I heard that.
I don't know if I've seen the first one or all of both of them. I've seen bits and pieces of both of them.
I think I saw the first one a long time ago, but I remember nothing about it.
Once you get him and Martin Lawrence together, they're pretty much unstoppable. Those guys are great. They're hilarious. I think they know how to play off each other. Amazing.
I haven't seen Martin Lawrence in years, it seems like.
No, I don't think he kind of disappeared, and then all of a sudden they're talking about Bad Boys 3.
I love that all this old stuff's like getting all this resurgence and coming back. Did you hear? This is miles away from anything Will Smith related, but did you hear that Frasier might be coming back?
No.
Yeah.
No way. I know he's Kelsey Grammer's on another show right now. It just started a couple of weeks ago, a law show. But I didn't know anything about Frasier.
Yeah. Yeah, coming back supposedly. So I would be extremely interested in that. But anyway, back to the topic again.
Yeah, see, that could have just went off on a whole other thing just then.
Well, we're just talking about everything coming back and resurgence and sequels and yada yada. You know.
Well, I Am Legend. That one I haven't seen. Also,
because you have not seen I Am Legend.
No, I've wanted to watch it a bunch of times, and it's been on coming on TV, and the wife is like, "Does the dog die?" And I'm pretty sure it does. So that just nope. Next.
Right.
Yeah. No, that was a good film. I really enjoyed that one.
Excellent film.
Yeah, you need to watch that, Jack.
I heard that it was different from the book because the book they were vampires, but in the movie they weren't necessarily. I mean, they came out at night, but they weren't necessarily vampires, or was it vice versa? I think one of the guys at work was talking about it the other day.
They do only come out at night, right?
Yeah, right. Light hurts them.
Light hurts them, but they're zombies. It's a zombie movie, right?
I always was under the assumption they were vampires, just like vampire beasts. I mean, you know, obviously they're not like Dracula in a red cape, like blue or anything like that. But I mean, I'd say a cross between ravenous zombies and vampires. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exposure to light would kill them. Stakes through their chest would kill them. All kinds.
But I know that it's still on my radar. It's one of those movies that speaks to me with the type of movie it is. It's just I got to watch it alone. That doesn't happen very often.
We'll make the time, damn it.
Yeah.
I remember, when was it? Maybe 97, 98 it was, when I was just sick of everything I had been listening to, and I needed a complete change. I was listening to mainly, you know, rock at the time, alternative current rock. And I went looking through the rap section and found, and it had just come out, Will Smith's Big Willie Style.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I picked it up, and boy, did I have one hell of a summer with that album. It was, it really defined that summer. It did, you know, and it was cool because I wasn't really into rap. I wasn't into, you know, a lot of the rap at the time. Not all, but a lot was, you know, typically singing about, you know, like violence, gang violence, kind of shit like that. I can't relate to, you know, and, I don't know. There was just like no swearing or anything. It's like the Jim Gaffigan version of rap, I guess. Like there's very clean, you know?
Yeah.
Will Smith is never swear actually in with their songs and with his rap.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's always been a clean artist with his music. That, yeah,
his claim to fame. Now, in 1997, you weren't listening to Limp Bizkit, were you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was. All right.
I wasn't.
Weren't listening to rap because we don't, that doesn't count now. I was listening to Limp Bizkit too.
Yeah, but, man. I got.
That was new metal.
That was like
hip hop metal mashup kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't rap.
You want to talk about art that didn't stand the test of time? Yeah. You know, now in my advanced age, I'm 34, so I feel old. And see, now there's enough time that you can go back and listen to stuff you listened to when you were kids. And some of it stands out, but man,
a lot of it doesn't.
It was really bad.
Yeah. I was into them big. I went to their concert during their Chocolate Starfish tour, I think it was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my God, you want to talk about just some over the top theatrics. The whole stage was like the torso and head of Optimus Prime.
And okay.
Like, you know, his eyes would light up and shoot laser beams over the audience that would like scan all over the arena. The shoulder pads opened up. On one shoulder was the drummer. On the other shoulder was DJ Lethal. And then,
DJ Lethal.
Yeah, I remember that. The chest plate would open up and out came Fred Durst. It was so ridiculously over the top. And, you know, they're not doing shows like that anymore. They're not jumping
if
out
they're
of
doing shows at
toilets
all
anymore.
They're doing open mics in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's funny.
Oh, my God. Them and Korn. Korn kind of, I think, falls into that same wheelhouse.
Well, I would say, I would welcome you to go back and listen to their first album and maybe even their second album. Holds up a lot better than Limp Bizkit. I'll just say that.
There's no doubt. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially Life is Peachy.
Life is Peachy. It was a great album. They had more, I think, artistic ability and merit than Limp Bizkit ever did.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, but by that third album, you can tell, you know, corporate Hollywood or big business had gotten to the music, and they started pumping out singles and whatnot.
Right. Although, didn't they do that single that said, "Y'all want a single? Fuck that."
Yeah.
that was the actual lyric. But still, I don't mean you're wrong, but it does mean that they, I guess maybe they saw the critique coming.
Yeah.
I forgot about that single.
Yeah. That's not a bad song. That's not the worst song in the world.
No, they've got some good stuff still. I just remember a few weeks ago I was looking to, I watched concerts on YouTube, and I came across some old Woodstock 99 footage, and both of Limp Bizkit and Korn, and you know, they were just really at that time on top of the fucking world. They were in their prime right then, you know. So just to see the reaction, see how they looked, you know, so much thinner and younger, and oh man, it's crazy. It seems like yesterday, but it fucking certainly was not yesterday, man.
I wonder what Fred looks like now, because I know I saw a picture of John Davis not too long ago and I almost didn't recognize him, and once I realized who it was, I was like, oh my God.
Well, yeah, I remember you were over, we were recording the show, and I think you got in on his, he was doing like a Facebook stream, like on FaceTime. And he was holding it at an angle, kind of pointing up at himself, where it made it look like he had like 10 extra chins. You held it up to him. You're like, dude, look. And I was like, who the fuck's that? He's like, look. And I'm like, I don't fucking know who it is until
you know who he is.
If you just like hold the camera up, like down on him, then it would probably register easier. Yeah, time has not been kind to everybody, I suppose. And, you know, who am I to talk? It's beat the hell out of me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What about Hancock? You guys remember Hancock?
Oh, yeah. That's not even on my list of movies. Oh, I guess this is the 10 best Will Smith movies that I have.
Find Hancock in that list.
But, I enjoy that. Was cool. It was neat. It was a twist on superheroes.
Yeah, I enjoyed it thoroughly. You know, how somebody who has that power that shouldn't have them, you know, like what the world looks like.
I think I was ironically drunk when I watched that movie. And so I only remember that he was drunk in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a bit. And I felt like as the movie progressed, it started to go downhill. By the time it got to the very end, I was kind of like really drifting away from it. It was everything up till then that made the movie good for me. Just the graphics at the end were too over the top, like he and she fighting in the streets with all the tornadoes and all that weird shit that was going on. But do you know what I mean? Am I alone in my thoughts here?
Oh, no, I know what you mean.
I enjoyed the bad guy, though, with the hook hand.
I don't even remember that. I thought Charlize was the only, the villain.
No, she wasn't the villain. She had played his, it's like they had lived over many decades. Like they were really, really old, and they in the past had been lovers, but when they're together, their powers go away. They have to be apart to be supers or whatever. I don't know.
That's what it was. I know it was something weird like that.
And then, so by the end of the movie, by the time that was revealed, I was like, but why? But why? You know, like, why? I don't know.
They just gave you the DC reasoning because.
Yeah.
Why is Superman? Because
we said so. Now sit down and enjoy it. Yeah. All right. Let's see. What else do we have on Will Smith? Anything, gentlemen?
That's about all I've got I can think of.
We're forgetting one big one here. One big one. Come on. The Men in Black.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And did Little I hear Agent they're making J. another one, or they're making like a reboot or something of Men in Black?
It's kind of like the Batman Incorporated kind of thing. It's an offshoot. I think that in Europe, I think it is, because it's got what's-her-name Valkyrie from Thor Ragnarok, and of course Thor are the people in black.
I like her a lot. I like her a lot.
Yeah, she's cool. Yeah, I enjoyed her a lot too.
Mm-hmm. I hope she's back in the new Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, the Men in Black series. The second one was pretty crappy, I thought. Not that any of them like were super strong films, but the third one was just a man. The twist they put on the end of the third one, and that put the twist on the whole, you know, all three movies, was so good. Was so good. Do you guys agree? Disagree?
Oh, I agree. I know the third one really kind of spoke at me fatherly wise. Not that I'm a father, about just knowing your dad and stuff. And
you're like, you want to call your dad after seeing that.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. And what about Matthew, Emiliano? Have you guys seen the third Men in Black film?
I haven't. I've seen the first one. And then I don't think I saw the second or third ones. You know, the movie before Men in Black was Independence Day. And that was like 96, 97. Yeah. So I was in the sixth and seventh grade. It's kind of like the primo, like movie watching time in your life, where like you can watch movies that maybe aren't that great, but they feel amazing. And I remember seeing Independence Day with my dad, who hated it, and I loved it. And the same thing with Men in Black, where it just hit me at a time in my life that, you know, the graphics and everything was so perfect.
Oh, yeah.
But by the time Men in Black 2 came around, even I was older, and so I don't think I saw the second one. I may have, but I know I didn't see the third one.
You could totally skip that second one altogether and go straight to the third one, because it's really good. The second one is just not that good at all. The story wasn't great. I didn't care for the villain at all. Blah. But yeah, for Independence Day, man, when that film came out, I was into it big time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I had gone to the only merch I was able to find, it was at the local On Cue or Sam Goody. They had some shirts that had come in, and I bought every one of them. And I was like that fucking Adam Goldberg kind of nerd at school who was just rocking the Independence Day shirt while everyone else is wearing sports related stuff or something that's, you know, not Independence Day. But yeah, I didn't give a shit. I was into it. I loved it. The aliens were cool. Everything was awesome.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I loved the ships. The way they designed the ships really got me stoked when I was a kid.
Now, this did not stand the test of time, though. Going back and watching it, you're like, how did I ever, yeah. I mean, there's the nostalgia part of you that's like, yeah, I'm going to watch this from front to back and love every minute of it. But at the same time, you know, the adult in you is like, how did I ever watch this? This is some horrible dialogue.
Well, you know, oh, go ahead.
No, please continue.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Men in Black 3, you know, inspired you guys to call your dads for, I didn't see it, so I don't know why, but you guys felt compelled to call your dads. Thinking about how bad Independence Day 1 probably was, and my dad still went and saw it with me, makes me want to call my dad.
My dad took me to see it too. That's the funniest thing you say. You say that, right? You know, going to the movies with my family was never like a thing to do. We didn't really ever do it. But there's a few movies that I remember just me and my dad going to, and that was definitely one of them, because I had been dying to see it, and my mom wasn't going to take me.
Right.
But yeah, for sure, man. Good memories. And too bad that second one was a hot fucking mess. That was a shitty movie.
Yeah, it was. I think they tried to cash in too much on the little worm guys and the pug guy.
You know, I was talking about the second Independence Day film.
Oh, I thought you meant Men in Black, but...
Well, that one was shit, too, but the second Independence Day film. yikes. You know, it has that Liam Hemsworth curse. If you see him, run. Fucking run.
Yeah, but I'm on the Wikipedia page for Men in Black 2.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like Biz Markie was in it.
I don't know who that is off the top of my head.
Oh, he sang Just a Friend. I think, it's probably his only hit. I love it.
Oh, yeah. That's right, because he was the beatboxer dude in the very beginning.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So now I got to see it.
The alien spoke in, like, beatbox language.
Oh, at the post office. Because Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yes, because there's also a creature, there's the alien inside the copy machine. And that's that's Jeremy Howard.
Was it really?
It was, yeah.
Right here, I'm looking at it. It's Jeremy Howard. Yeah, the postal sorting alien.
Yes.
Well, Donatello.
Yep. I don't know where to go from here. I've kind of tapped the Will Smith well. Is there anything else, gentlemen, we should mention before moving on?
Not for me.
All right.
We'll see how this genie role plays out.
I think it'll be good. I mean, I don't think it'll be over the top great or anything. I don't think anything will beat that original film, especially since that's where our Robin Williams genie lies. But I think it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be fun this summer. I'm excited to see it.
He's funny. You know, he's a funny guy. And so it'll be different, obviously, than the Robin Williams take on it. But I'm excited still, even if it's weird.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, let's move on to a segment we haven't done in quite a while. It's not that we don't want to do it. I guess we just sometimes forget. Sometimes we run long, but...
Kind of the well ran dry, I think. It started getting really
hard to find entries, things that would qualify.
Yeah.
Right. No, I get it. Well, this week we're bringing back a segment you might know as...
Real World Heroes.
I haven't heard that for a long time.
Yeah, right. Jack, who do we have this week?
Travis Kaufman. He is from Colorado, and this was pretty big in the news just recently, within the last week or two. He was attacked by a mountain lion while running up in northern Colorado, and he ended up subduing the mountain lion and survived.
Really? I wonder how did he subdue it?
Well, I guess he's kind of a recent owner of a cat, and he realized that, or noticed that, when he's playing rough with his cat, you would know this, that they tend to roll on their back and start scratching the shit out of you with their hind claws.
Right.
Well, when this cat had him by the wrist, you know, biting down on him, and he was trying to fight for his life, he kind of remembered that. And the cat started to get on his back, and he ended up getting it so his knees were holding down the back leg so he couldn't scratch at him. And then he ended up, while wrestling him, you know, pulling that maneuver, he was able to get his leg up, you know, on the cat's throat, and he ended up strangling. I think he killed it, you know, in the end. But
holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, I don't want a mountain lion to die in any circumstance, but...
Right, it's horrible that it died, but the fact that he was able to, you know, take it down on his own. I mean, it was a young mountain lion, about 50 pounds, but still, that's a big cat.
It still looks good on a resume, though. Damn.
Yep. And I guess he's been starting to get called the King of the North.
I would say. I wouldn't mess with anybody who wrestled a mountain lion and walked away.
But now he's decided to, when he goes running out in the hills, that he's going to have somebody with him just in case it happens again. Who knows? Mama mountain lion might be out there and pissed now.
He starts bringing dual machetes strapped to his back. You got to do what you got to do, I guess, right?
That's right.
And for that, Travis Kaufman, you have found a spot on our Wall of Justice.
In the Hall of Heroes.
Boy, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Tell me about it.
Wow. All right. Well, with that, let's move our attention over to Matthew and Emiliano and talk about this comic, Murder, that was successfully funded on Kickstarter. And boy, did you guys do really well. You almost hit double your funds, it looked like. So congratulations to you guys.
Well deserved, I say.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Man, this comic was an experience. Is the only way I can really explain it before I let you guys tell our listeners more about it.
my wife and I, Brittany, co-created this comic series called Murder. Emiliano is the artist, and he does all the art. He hired a flatter whom I didn't give credit for. So Emiliano, I'm going to let you give credit. What was the name of the flatter you used?
Benjamin Gotcha. I didn't pay him, so
I didn't pay him. All right. So then we're cutting him from the group.
I'm not catching anything that's going on.
Yeah, sounds like we got a crazy delay right now.
Yeah, we may have lost them.
We may have.
Okay, maybe I'll try again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. So the comic book series that we're working on is called Murder, and it's co-created by my wife and I, Brittany. And it basically tells a story of animals that are linking telepathically one species at a time. And nobody really knows why or how, but only one human can hear their thoughts, and that's the butcher's butcher. And he's our hero. We meet him in the first issue. We got a Kickstarter up for the second issue, and we're really excited because we're going to get to debut the next hero, the Melanated Melody, who will have a really big role in issue two. The Butcher's Butcher will be in issue two, too. But we're really excited about the Melanated Melody. So we have a Kickstarter up for issue two right now. And we're about 71% funded. We got about 19 days to go. So we're making that push to get this issue funded, just like we funded the first issue.
Very good. And you said you have 19 days to go. When's the last, what's the date that the Kickstarter ends?
The date that the Kickstarter ends is March 8th.
I see.
So we got, I mean, like you said, we really funded, we funded the first Kickstarter. Yeah, I think we almost doubled it, our goal. And the rewards for this Kickstarter are, sorry for the people who contributed to the first Kickstarter, but these are really good rewards. So, you know, you just got to stick with us. Yeah.
I'm really excited to see more of this book. You guys sent over issue one for us, and man, some first impressions looking at it, I thought, well, man, someone here is working in a slaughterhouse. But then I was like, well, wait a minute. Quite the contrary. It looks like you guys are kind of using your story at the same time to kind of show the horrors of the slaughterhouse. And maybe I'm wrong in that assumption. But
no, you're not at all. Well, like, I guess we can just isolate it to issue one of Murder. It takes place in a hatchery. And what a lot of people don't know is that, you know, you eat eggs and it requires female chickens to produce those eggs. So we don't really need male chicks. And so what happens to those male chicks is that they're born and then they're sexed. We figure out if they're male or female. And then the males are all killed because we don't have any monetary use for them. And so that's what issue one takes place. So, kind of what we want to do with the whole series is give kind of this interesting, entertaining way of kind of seeing what it's like in these facilities. My wife and I used to farm, and we grew vegetables, but we were in on the agricultural scene, and so, you know, we learned a lot about how food is produced, and so, you know, we've visited dairies, and we've visited free range chicken farms and stuff like that. So we really drew from our experience when it came to writing the story. It
makes sense. And that's how you're going to get a good story. It's, you know, from somebody who actually has knowledge in the field. I'm sorry, Jack, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I've seen videos of what happens in chicken farms with that whole thing. So it was horrifying to watch and to sit there and read it. It really reminded me of watching those videos back then. It really makes you think about what you're eating.
Yeah.
Or the process that it goes through.
Yeah. And I think murder is kind of a unique opportunity because we're showing the thoughts of these animals, you know?
Exactly.
You know, I think some people are animal peoples and some people aren't animal peoples. And it's, you know, it's both are fine. But I feel like some people are so empathetic towards animals that they don't need to hear their actual thoughts. But, you know, maybe you didn't grow up with pets or, you know, you grew up in the city. So, you know, an animal is different to you than it is to me. So showing the thoughts, you know, we really tried to convey what I think this is pretty close to what their experience really is, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The hashtag that we've been kicking around is murder is a documentary. You know, then we're not making anything up. We're only making up that the animals are linking telepathically. You know, that's the sci-fi aspect, not the scenes that we're portraying. You know, these happen every day.
And maybe I'm asking too much. Maybe this is going to be giving too much away. But, you know, you mentioned that all these animals have this telepathic link. And that the butcher's butcher, you know, is the hero of the story. So is he kind of liberating the animals that have this newfound kind of consciousness? Or what exactly is he saving?
Is that giving too much away? well, you saw...
If so, just tell me and we can move right on.
No, you saw that in issue two or issue one, you know, after he left the hatchery, he goes back to the Over the Rainbow Farm Animal Sanctuary.
Right.
So, you know, he runs this farm animal sanctuary and, he works undercover in these hatcheries. So like, for example, in this particular issue, he's working in the hatchery to talk to the employees, to, hear the animals, to see how linked up they are. Because at this point in the story, you know, the point when he's in the hatchery, it's only the chickens, the dogs, and the cats that are linked. So the cows and the pigs have not linked yet. You know, at this point, he's just gathering information, trying to figure out what's going on. And, it's the first issue, so we didn't give you guys a lot. You know, that's not your fault. we wanted to test, you know, it's tough. It's a first issue is a trip, you know, because...
Sure.
You got to get people into it, but if you show your hand too much, then issue two isn't very exciting.
Oh, understood. And boy, success. You know, you have a successful hook here. You have hooked me. I'm very intrigued to find out more.
Yep.
I like it. Well, I want to take this moment. I don't even know if Emiliano's still on, but, you know, a huge part of what made this comic book as successful as it is because I got Emiliano and Micah, you know, making me look good. When I reached out to Emiliano, I don't know if you've read any of the other stuff that he's done. It's more in like the superhero genre, probably, or maybe sci-fi, but he actually hadn't done very much animal artwork at all.
Really?
And yeah. Wow. And so we started to talk, and I asked him to do some sketches of animals for me.
It's an old drawing animal.
Wow.
I just typed my movie, and that was all. I mean, in my free time, I drew some stuff like that, but not professionally. So I had no professional experience about drawing animals. And I had to do a lot of research and know how the mechanic or the anatomy of animals work to start building something real, let's say. And even though my art may look a bit cheaty now in issue one, but I can promise you that it would improve for issue two. So because I bought a Wacom Cintiq, and that way my art improves a lot. So I have to think that this device too. So
I can't imagine. I mean, if it's going to improve, it's going to look even better than what we're seeing here in issue one. Like, this already looks amazing. So if it's going to improve, wow, we're in for a treat, it looks like.
Yep.
There are some sequences that I don't like too much, but we were running behind time, so we have to release. I had to do it, but you would see that in you will see that issue two will be really better.
Well, it looks amazing. It looks amazing. So, gentlemen, to people who back your Kickstarter, what are some rewards that we have for backers?
Without knowing a tremendous amount about you two, I feel like I'm talking to two 90s kids.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you are. Yeah. You absolutely are.
Okay. So this is four 90s kids talking to each other. So, you know, my entry point to comic books as a kid partly was X-Men, the animated series.
Oh, yeah.
That, yep.
Changed my life. I was absolutely obsessed with it, and it was kind of my entry point. I didn't quite have the attention span for comic books. I was not an avid reader. What I was an avid collector, and so I used to collect the Marvel trading cards. And so I don't know if you remember, but like maybe mid-90s, Marvel put out a bunch of series that were 9-card murals where each card was its own character, and you put them together and it creates a larger scene.
Yes. Was it like 9 cards long, or did they stack?
They were 9 cards that you'd have these 9-card sleeves, and it would be 3x3. And actually, I'm looking at my old collection right now. It was 93 that Marvel put out this particular Skybox series. So what we're doing with the Murder series is every issue we're going to put out a new trading card, and that trading card is going to be part of a 9-card mural.
Oh, nice.
Each with a new character. So like with issue one, we put out the Butcher's Butcher one. And with issue two, we're putting out the Melanated Melody trading card. And I'll send it to you guys. I want to say it's maybe the fourth tier comes with both the Melanated Melody and the Butcher's Butcher tier or trading card. You know, they're interlinking. It's interlinking artwork. Here, I'll send it over to you guys. But every tier is a catch-up tier. So every tier has issue one in it. And if you've already read issue one, this is actually the second edition of issue one. So we're going to go back and make some editorial changes. So if collectors want that, they can have that. If they already have read issue one and don't want the second edition, we're offering artwork by an artist named Orient. I've commissioned some pieces from them, both the Melanated Melody and Butcher's Butcher, but also they do kind of an anime style artwork. So they did a chibi version of the Melanated Melody and a chibi version of the Butcher's Butcher that are adorable. So you can swap that out if you've already read issue one.
That's some good incentive, I think, right there. Yeah, absolutely.
And then the other thing with this artwork by Orient is that our deal is that I'm not going to sell this after the Kickstarter. So if you want this artwork, this is the only time that it's available. And then it's just going on the shelf. It's our agreement that I'm not going to sell it. You know, if you want it, this is it.
Even more incentive.
I like to turn it into a high pressure situation.
These are cool, though, these images you're sending over. These are the trading cards?
These are the trading cards. And poor Emiliano, you know, I think the proper way to have done this is just to have him done a full, you know, mural and then cut it up. Instead, I just had him do the Butcher's Butcher and then later asked him to do the Melanated Melody. And I don't think he realized that this is going to have to, like, all work together. this is all part of the Emiliano and Micah making me look good. And so Emiliano's done an incredible job connecting these two. And I'm sure he's going to do great with the other seven.
Yeah, these look awesome. These look amazing. I like the perspective on them. It's like you're standing lower than the characters are looking up at them. Or the perspective you're looking at these cards from. They look really good. They're really good.
I got the chibi versions coming at you here. Oh, another fun reward. we're almost sold out. Issue 1 through 5, we're going to turn into the first trade paperback. And so for issues 2 through 4, we're offering cameos to contributors.
Oh, wow. So, really?
Yeah. So our top tier is a cameo in Murder. And we've already sold out issues 2 through 4. There's going to be a cameo in each of these. And we finished writing issue 2. And so that cameo is done. And, you know, we don't want to do like a cameo. Like the cameo is not like you, like your face in a crowd. You know, the cameo for issue 2, we asked the supporter, like, what are you passionate about? You know, what, you know, animal related issues do you care more about? And this guy actually runs a guinea pig rescue organization where they take abused and neglected guinea pigs and they have a home for them. And so that was his passion. And we found a way to work it into the plot. And so it's a fun reward. For people who want to be immortalized into a comic book, it's really a fun little thing to, you know, always have. You know, he's always going to be in this comic book.
Yeah, yeah. And I know it's a high incentive for comics, you know, being created on Kickstarter to get backers. There's a lot of people that want that privilege. You know, they want to be in a comic book. Yours truly included.
Check out our Kickstarter.
Exactly. It's our time, Jack.
That's Candair's been wanting to do that for a while.
That we have. So one more time, if you could throw that date and the Kickstarter ends on.
Yeah, so the Kickstarter ends on March 8th.
On March 8th. And we'll be putting up links on our website and on social media to help draw people that way. Is there anywhere else people should be checking out more about Murder?
We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook and we're on Twitter. And we put out, you know, I try to post as much on all of them. But I'm on Twitter, Matt Loisel. I'm not sure what Emiliano or Micah's handle is.
I've actually got them both right here. Emiliano is, I don't even know how you pronounce this, but I'm just spell it GUASON0411. And Micah Myers is just that, MICHMYERS.
There you are. Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for being here on the show today, sharing this awesome comic with us. This is, man, it's a good one, and it's truly unique. We don't really see much like this. So I hope you take that as a compliment, because I certainly mean it as one.
Oh, we do. I mean, thank you very much.
Good. No problem. Thank you, gentlemen. And Jack, what do we have on our website?
Go to CandairPodcast.com, or you can check out our special guest, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, visit the Hall of Heroes to see the Wall of Justice, check out some of our YouTube videos, click on the merch button, become a patron. If you'd like to be a guest and promote your work on the show, send us an email on our contacts page.
Don't forget to find us on Twitter at CandairPod and on Instagram at Cand_Air. And check out our other podcast we have going, a whole other show called What If, inspired from the Marvel What If comics. And it started right here on Canned Air, and then, you know, we decided it needed its own series, so we gave it just that. Go to whatifpod.com, or you can find us on Player FM, iTunes, all the players that be. At I think if you search What If series, that'll get you to us probably the easiest.
Yeah,
check that out. And once again, stick around here at the end of the episode for the last song we'll be featuring from the band Quiet. That's Quiet spelled without the U. Go to quietmusic.com and enjoy this song, Mayfly Man. It's one of my favorites. Well, that's why I saved it for last. So enjoy it. And until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Matt Loisel.
I'm Emiliano Correa.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
I don't know that I was lost, but I knew that I had to find my way. Visions drove me to and from as I watched my mind become a cloudy maze. Suddenly
Jet ski.
And yet you keep trying.
Scarlet!
That's like your sixth try. You obviously don't have any talent. Have you thought of giving up?
Maybe I should just try again.
Maybe you should try listening to Canned Air Podcast.
Well, at least now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
So Emiliano did all the art.
Not just you, man.
Go into that cave.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis.
You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.